Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to a special online event today called Unveiling Your Oversoul, Shamanic Journey to Higher Realms for Wisdom, Healing, and Reenchantment. My name is Stephen Dine, and I'm the founder and CEO of The Shift Network, and I'm really excited to be hosting today's program because I get to dive deeper into a new teacher, which is part of the reason I even created The Shift Network for my own exploration and growth. So I'm going to be adventuring right alongside with you. We're going to be able to spend this hour with shamanic teacher and anthropologist Hank Wesselman, whose teachings invite us to discover the visionary within us through exploring the deep knowledge of shamanism and anthropology. Hank has got 25 years of apprenticeship in teaching and shamanism, and really says his work utilizes the ancient time-tested ways of the mystic to facilitate each person's process and reconnect them to their inner sources of wisdom, power, and healing. So thank you so much for joining us here today, Hank.
Well, listen, Stephen, this is going to be great. I'm so pleased to be part of your team, really.
Great. Well, we're going to have this time with Hank for an hour here, and we're going to get as much value as we can. And I also want to let you know right up front that this is not the end of the line. We also have a chance to go deeper on a full 7-week new program. First time we've offered this, and we're very excited about it. It's called the Shamanic Path of Reenchantment. So we'll hear a little bit more about that new 7-week program towards the end. So Hank, let's talk. It's always good to have a little bit of backstory. Maybe if you could share a little bit about what brought you to devote your life really to studying shamanism and bridging it with modern scientific and anthropological understanding.
Well, as many of your listeners and workshop participants are aware, way back in the 1980s, I had this extraordinary experience of being brought in a visionary state, a spontaneous visionary state, into connection with what traditional tribal people would call a spirit. And my training as an anthropologist at UC Berkeley had not prepared me for this experience, but it completely changed my life, and it resulted in a trilogy of books called the Spirit Walker Trilogy. The first was called Spirit Walker, Messages from the Future. The second was called Medicine Maker, Mystic Encounters on the Shaman's Path. And the third, Vision Seeker, you know, Shared Wisdom from the Place of Refuge. And, you know, many people have read these books. They were published in 13 languages abroad. And so let me just say that in terms of our talk about the Oversoul today, because of the books that I had published and because of these mystic experiences, I was drawn into connection with a Hawaiian kahuna elder over the last 8 years of his life. This is a man whose name was Hale Makua, and I eventually wrote a book about him called The Bowl of Light, Ancestral Wisdom from a Hawaiian Shaman. But in that book, I revealed how he, at our very first meeting, gave me this beautiful carved wooden bowl, Hawaiian wooden bowl. And this was at a meeting we had at the edge of a crater, the volcano crater Kilauea in Volcano National Park in Hawaii. He'd come to sort of look me over at a talk I gave at an institute in Hawaii because he'd read my book, Spirit Walker. And, you know, this was a little intimidating, Stephen, to say the least, because Hale Makua was not just any kahuna. He was the big kahuna. He was the guy who was, you know, kind of like on top of the pile. And he was a gifted mystic and visionary. And, you know, when he came to look me over, I realized that he'd read my book, and I was kind of like on the spot. But, you know, on that day, at the Institute, I launched into my talk, which was a rather academic talk about the transformational community. This is something I like to talk about. I like to talk about those people in our community who hold a system of beliefs, values, and trends that differ from those of the general public, and who we are and how many we are and so forth and so on. And Makua listened to me on that day. My wife was with me. And at the end of my talk, he looked very thoughtful, and I had this feeling that he'd come to say something to me. And so, you know, I didn't know what the correct protocol was to talk to a Hawaiian elder. So I looked at him and I said, Makua, I'm getting this feeling that there's something that you wish to say to me. Would it be correct for me to ask you to speak? And he looked very thoughtful. And he said, well, you know, a friend of mine sent me your book, Spirit Walker, and I read it. And I read it again just to make sure I got it right. And then I went down to the beach, and I took your book, and I put it down in the sand, and I called in the spirits of my ancestors, and we had a talk about you. You know, I'm sitting there on pins and needles, Stephen. I mean, wow. This is not something that happens every day. And he said, you know, the ancestors asked me what your name was, and I told them, your name is Wesselman, Hank Wesselman. And they told me, I wasn't pronouncing your name right. They said you're actually pronounced Vesselman, that you're a vessel, like the canoe.
Oh, now,
I'm saying that from a place of sharing, not from a place of ego. I was kind of blown away. And he laughed because he knew. And he said, you know, we should have a meeting before you leave the island. And now listen, when the big kahuna says you're going to have a meeting, you're going to have a meeting. So we met on the last day of the year in 1996, right on the edge of the volcano crater in Volcano National Park. And it was on that day that we, you know, sort of got to know each other slowly, as men do, with a lot of explanations. And at the end of the day, he gave me a wooden bowl. And he said, this is your bowl of light, your bowl of light. He said, when each one of us comes into the world, we come in from an immortal ancestral oversoul, the oversoul that divides itself and sends in a seed of its light for a new embodiment for a new lifetime. And the bowl of light is symbolic of this. He said, when that bowl of light comes in, it takes up residence within us with our first breath when we emerge from our mother's body. And at that point, he said, you know, when we take that first breath, that incoming oversoul seed takes up residence within us, and it discovers a separate singular body soul, which is already ready in residence. This is the physical soul of the body that we received from our mother and father. So the first job of the incoming oversoul seed is to make contact with and merge with this singular body soul, which reveals that our energy body is actually sourced from three directions, from our mother, from our father, and from our personal oversoul. And the oversoul contains within itself all of our former lifetimes. All of our former lives are archived into our personal oversoul field. The oversoul is the immortal aspect of ourself that does not die, that lives forever in the dream world. So, you know, here I am holding this wooden bowl in my hands and looking out at this volcanic landscape. And he said, he took the bowl back from me and he said, you know, when we come into this world, that oversoul energy is pure and refined. And as we pass through life, occasionally we step into the negative polarity. And whenever we do, it's like you put a stone in your bowl and some of your light goes out. He said, life is long, and slowly but surely, our bowl of light begins to fill up with stones. And he said, hopefully, we learn what we're doing before it's too late. And he said, you know what you do then? And of course, my wife and I are hanging on every word. And he said, you turn it over. And he turned the bowl over, and he laughed, this big explosive laugh. And he said, you know, you dump it out. This is called kala in Hawaiian. This is called kala. This is called cleansing. He said, but from that time forward, you learn what you're doing, and hopefully you no longer step into the negative polarity. And he said, at that point, we live our lives according to three sacred directives. And this is very much for all of your listeners, all of our listeners today. He said, number one, we are to love all that we see with humility. And I'm thinking to myself, Jesus, easy one first. And Makua was very psychic. He was very psychic. So he said to me, listen, I worked on that one for 7 years. Love all that you see with humility. Secondly, we're to live all that we feel with reverence. And this reverence is not just by convention. It's not about propriety so much, but in effect it is. It's about us living our life with respect for everything and everyone we meet in life, no judgment. And thirdly, we're to live all that we know with discipline, with self-discipline. And this is where so many of our spiritual teachers stumble, the self-discipline. This is our job, to love all that we see with humility, to live all that we feel with reverence, and to know all that we possess with self-discipline. And this is how I really came into awareness of this awareness of the Oversoul, that is our immortal aspect, the aspect of ourself that divides itself before we come into life, sends in a seed of its light that takes up residence within us and nurtures us and sustains us throughout our life with the light that we essentially contain within our hearts. And so in talking about unveiling the Oversoul, there's a great deal we could say about the Oversoul. And
Say I love the metaphor of the bowl, of like the bowl of light, and it's very visual, and then just turning it over, the emptying out and the cleansing, so that we can be, that there's a natural pipeline from the Oversoul down into incarnate form. And I think that's great in terms of those three principles really help us to keep the bowl clean and clear it out so that we can be receptive. It's beautiful.
Well, especially in our times, having had our current election, I might add.
Yes.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. This is the time to vest ourselves very strongly in the positive polarity and to maintain our focus there for the next 4 years, because this is where I think our our future depends on this. Mm-hmm. So, in talking about the Oversoul, it's interesting to me because the Oversoul really cannot be defined in a physical way, because to do so would attempt to establish limits or outlines upon something that doesn't seem to have any. Does that make sense to you?
It does. It does. And we have to really think of this. So we talk a lot about the soul, and so for the most part, that's more of like the individuated droplet that's connected to the physical body that is what most people are talking about when they talk about soul, right?
Right. Well, one of the things that we're going to talk about in Module 3 of the upcoming workshop is we're going to talk about the three souls and the nature of the self. One of the interesting things to me, I was involved with Zen Buddhism for many years, and in fact, my wife Jill and I were married at the Zen Center in San Francisco back in 1979 with a complete Zen Center wedding. And, I pursued this path for many years until I began to have these spontaneous visions that are recorded in my Spirit Walker trilogy. And when I attempted to talk to a Zen master, this happened to be Robert Aitken Roshi, one of the deans of American Zen. When I attempted to talk to him about my visions, he described them as what the Zen people call makyos, M-A-K-Y-O, makyo. And as such, the Buddhists regard visions as delusions, and as such, they regard them as having no input on the nature of the self. Well, this was the point in which Buddhism and I separated paths. I realized that the Buddhist tradition, and I still value it today because of everything I acquired from it, but I realized that it could have nothing to tell me about my visionary experiences. And so I went on to the shaman's path, and I realized that when a spiritual soul starts to come to a planet like Earth, and I'm talking about the Oversoul dividing itself, it merges with physical beings who have evolved here. And this is a statement that implies that the soul itself did not. The Oversoul did not evolve here. It's essentially a kind of alien entity. And on a planet like Earth, when it comes here, this is often quite a shock, especially for younger souls, because of the violence of this world. this is something we're going to talk about in the workshop that's coming up. You know, human beings, it's not the oversoul that defines us as human. It's the physical body soul, the animal body that we inhabit, that defines us as human. And human beings have raw, powerful emotions. And among them are the negative emotions of anger and hate and the manifestations of fear and pain. These are connected with survival going back to the Stone Age and beyond, if I've got this right, and I believe I do as an anthropologist. So both the positive emotions of love, manifestations of love, and the negative emotions, which are manifestations of fear, have effects on both the soul and the host body. And upon reflection, it's obvious that there's benefit in this. So in talking today about unveiling the nature of the oversoul, I could say that if an oversoul, which lives always in the dream world, which is our immortal aspect from which we come into life and to which we return after life, if it knew only love and peace, it would gain no insight and would never truly experience and understand the value of positive feelings. And on Earth, you know, I'm fond of saying in workshops that our experience of life is like photography. We develop from the negative. This is a cliche, of course, but it's very true. It's the negative experiences that we have in life which often serve as our most powerful teachers. So, one of the supreme tasks for a soul continually reincarnating on Earth is the conquering of fear, as well as the overcoming of base impulses. These are products of the animal human body. So the soul grows by continually trying to overcome all the negative emotions and experiences connected with fear. And this requires perseverance through countless lessons across countless lifetimes. So this is part of what we're going to focus on in the workshops that are coming up. And I really look forward to sharing some of this information with our participants.
Well, I love the context and a really wonderful overview. Let's dive a little more into the practice. So we talked about this as really learning how to journey to meet the oversoul. And so there's unveiling, and then we want a journey to meet. And so, you know, how do you actually specify or direct your shamanic journey such that it gives you a direct experience of this oversoul?
Well, as you know, and most of our listeners also know, there are three great gateways to transcendent experience: meditation, Tantra, and trauma. Now, meditation is a form of journey work. In fact, it's the ancestral form of journey work in which the practitioner, accompanied by a physical stimulus, usually the drum or the rattle, or maybe a hallucinogen if one was used, expands their conscious awareness and drifts into the dream world while very much awake. And in this state, our intentions bring us into connection with that which we're seeking. And when we connect with the oversoul is the immortal aspect of ourself. And I'll just put this in here. It's impossible to achieve separation from our oversoul because that seed of light that resided within us, that came into us at the beginning of life, it resides within our hearts. It resides within our hearts. This is why the Buddhists call the heart the gateless gate. And when you turn your attention towards your heart, and as Sandra Ingerman and I are fond of observing, when you begin to breathe into your heart, it activates this connecting link between yourself and your oversoul field. And when I do this, it creates a sense of tranquility, of the sense that everything is just right in the world. And when I feel that feeling, I'm in connection with my oversoul field. And what I've learned is that the oversoul during our life serves as the source of our intuition, our source of intuition, of inspiration. And it sends us dreams and visions and ideas and hunches and slips of the tongue in response to our need to know. And in response, you know, this reveals that our oversoul is actually our spirit teacher. Now, many of us out there in the world at large have more than one spirit teacher. For example, you can't imagine how many people have a relationship with the spirit of Yogananda. Yogananda is the expression of an oversoul field who came to be of service. And for many people who are psychologically Christian, for example, they have an ongoing oversoul relationship with Jesus of Nazareth, or what they perceive as the spirit of Jesus of Nazareth. You know, this is very much in alignment with the fact that we have these allies, these spiritual allies on the other side of the mirror. But our primary teacher is actually our self, our oversoul. And the oversoul is the source of all the information of which we ever might have need during our lifetime. And it will provide that to us in response to our need to know. But we have to ask. Shamanic journey work is a very interesting method by which we can expand our conscious awareness and journey into the spirit world to connect with our spirit teacher. And we'll be doing that in the workshop that I'm proposing to do with you guys starting December the 1st. As part of every module, I will sit back, put the phone down, pull my drum off the hook on the wall, and drum for about 15 minutes, maybe 10, 12 minutes, with certain coordinates that people can zero in on so that they can make connection with these transpersonal spirits, these transpersonal forces who are in relationship with us. The interesting thing to me, Stephen, is that these transpersonal forces are in relationship with us all the time. And a lot of people in our society who are completely distracted by the glitter of our new gadgets, including our cell phones and iPhones, et cetera, and our tablets and so forth and so on, you know, we're completely unaware of the fact that we have these spiritual allies. And it's been my experience that once we come into connection with them, life can become an extraordinary adventure as they come into our life and they provide us with guidance and teaching and power and protection and support, as well as healing. And so this is what we're going to do with our wonderful series of modules which are coming up with the Shift Network. And, you know, I just let me say, I'm very grateful to be able to do this with you guys. You know, I've been teaching now for over 20 years, and I love teaching in circle. In fact, I've just come back from Northern Oregon where I had a circle of 20 people, and, you know, it's like the energy in the circle really creates this matrix in which people begin to experience these transpersonal forces in a very dramatic way. And my sense is that with our workshop that's coming up, that with your breakout sections, that people will be able to do this with each other. And this is going to be very interesting for me. Very interesting for me.
Yeah, we found people can have a remarkably deep experience of sacred community and ritual space in a virtual environment. We found that in many of our programs. Well, on the page for today, we talked about a few other things related to this, so I want to make sure we cover everything we promise. So we talk a little bit about gaining an understanding of the three levels of the dream world. So a little bit about the terrain that you journey through and how that relates to connecting with the oversoul.
Well, you know, the interesting thing to me is that most of us are operating on three levels of reality all the time. All the time. For example, if I were to draw on the Kahuna tradition of Hawaii, I could observe that the physical world that we live in and take so much for granted, we could call that the first level. In Hawaiian, it's called Ike Papakahi. That's just a word. It means knowledge of level one. And the physical world is an objective level on which we can eat and sleep and make love and have families and friends and careers and so forth. It's a level of action. It's an objective level. And it operates by three assumptions. The first assumption is that everything on this level is separate from everything else. You, Stephen, are in California. I'm in Hawaii talking to you on the phone. There's this sense of separation between us, between people, places, and events. And it dominates our experience of the physical world. The second assumption is that everything has a beginning and an ending. Stories begin at the beginning, they end at the ending. You know, our life began when we were born, it will end when we'll make transition. Thirdly, every effect has a cause. On the physical plane, every effect has a cause. This is the level of cause and effect. And I might just throw in here that shamans are very much aware of this. And in doing healing work, and we're going to talk about spirit medicine in module number 5, we're going to talk about cause and effect. Because the shaman is less interested in the effect, in other words, the illness, and they're more interested in the cause of the illness. Because for true healing to occur, you have to deal with the cause. Now, the second level is the level of thoughts, emotions, feelings, and psychic awareness and energy. All right? It's a subjective level. And on that level, there is no separation. Everything's connected to everything else, number one. Second assumption, there are no beginnings and endings, only cycles and transitions. You know, reincarnation is a phenomenon that you cannot describe using cause and effect or the first level. It's a second level phenomenon, cycles and transitions. And thirdly, on the second level, we're outside of the time-space continuum, and all time is now. In other words, everything that ever happened in the past, everything that will happen in the future, and everything that's going on right now, it's all going on at once. You know, it takes a little working to wrap your mind around this. But it means many things are possible when you shift into the mental, emotional, psychic realm, which is also the level of energy. This is where all energy healing happens, including Reiki. But the third level of reality, awareness, and experience is the dream world. And this is what you just asked me about. The dream world is we find that three-leveled world system of the lower worlds, the middle worlds, and the upper worlds. These are all part of the dream. The lower worlds are the dream worlds of nature. The middle worlds are the dreamings of humans and the dreaming of the world that we're in right now. And the upper worlds are the dreaming of the gods, the goddesses, the spiritual heroes and heroines of the past. And each one of us has a particular home base in the upper world, our oversoul. This is where our oversoul resides, in the dreaming of the upper worlds, where it does what it does best. It dreams. And so at night when we pick up on dreams, when we're asleep, the one who is actually dreaming is our oversoul. And one of the curious things is to pay very close attention to our dreams so that we learn what our oversoul is dreaming, because our oversoul's dreams are important to bring us onto the path of our destiny. There's a causal relationship between the subtle and the causal realms of the upper world. And the causal realms have sort of universal impulses that are built into them, which the oversoul absorbs and translates into dreams, which come to us at night when we're asleep at night. And so these are the three levels of reality that we'll be working with in this interesting series of modules in this workshop we're going to create, starting December 1st and extending into January. And I hope that many people can join us, because I think it will give us a more expanded view on who we are on the one hand as selves, as well as what we're actually dealing with on the other, and what our destiny is. Our destiny is as separate from, for example, the fates. When you start paying attention to what your body wants, all right, your body is motivated by desire. And we're going to talk about the three souls and the nature of the self on December the 15th. When we're talking about what our body wants, very often this is not what our oversoul wants, and it throws us into it throws us into the crosshairs of the fates. And fate and destiny are two very different experiences. And we'll talk about that, but not today.
Well, there's so much. I mean, clearly there's so much we could dive into. We mentioned on the description for today about how to open to direct experiential insights about your soul's experience over multiple lifetimes. And you had said some intriguing things about the interpenetration, that they're all kind of simultaneous on a certain level. So maybe just talk about how do we open to this repository of information of past, present, and I imagine future lifetimes as well.
Well, when we are aware of how we're really put together, you know, my friend Halemakua, the kuhuna, said that the first question that we have to address is, who are you? And this is something we're going to deal with in module number 3, when we talk about the three souls and the nature of the self. This is very interesting to me, to come across this information, because I suddenly understood that the Hawaiians understood that we have not one, but three distinct souls. The Inuit people of the Arctic, the Eskimos, believe that we have three souls. The Lakota people believe that we have three souls. The Cherokee, three souls. The Vodou people of Haiti and Santo Domingo, three souls. The Shuar of the Amazon understand that we have three souls. Now, this was very interesting to me, because how these three souls come together is how the self is created in each lifetime. And although the Buddhists claim that the self is an illusion, are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
This is a very nice theory. Unfortunately, it's wrong. There is very much a self. In fact, there are two selves. There's our physically embodied self, and there's our spiritual oversoul self. You could call it our heavenly self and our earthly self, if that, makes sense to you. And the way in which these two selves interact as we travel across time is part of the understanding of walking the path of our destiny, because it's in response to what we do and become here through our earthly self that the oversoul grows, increases, and becomes more. There's a co-creative relationship between these two selves, the heavenly self there and the earthly embodied self here. And this is absolutely essential to understanding who we are, what we're doing here, and what this whole game is about. And we're going to talk about that, but not today.
Fantastic. Well, another thing that's an area of real interest for people is the concept of spirit guides and other helping beings. I know part of what you're really teaching here is that our oversoul is our primary teacher, but there's also the aspect of drawing upon the wisdom of other discarnate beings or other oversouls. Wouldn't you share more about that?
Well, let me just say, since you brought up the term spirit guide, that, one of the things that we're going to talk about in the workshop modules coming up is that, most people who use the term guides, my guides or the guides, don't use it correctly. All right? Most of the time when people are talking about their guides, they're talking about their helping spirits. These are earthbound spirits, like power animals and power plants and ancestors, and sometimes the spirits of the dead. These are earthbound spirits who are in relationship with us to help us in various ways. The guide, correctly understood, is not an earthbound entity. In fact, the spirit guide, with a capital G, is the teacher and keeper and caretaker of your oversoul. The oversoul is your immortal aspect that dreams in the spirit world, which sends in occasional messengers to Earth, you, who often get treated very badly, and then receives your energetic matrix back into itself at the end of life. We're going to talk about that, but not today. But the guide, all right, the guide is the spiritual teacher to whom we were assigned when we came into being as a soul. And the guide is the one who serves as the master teacher of the oversoul. And when we come into relationship with our oversoul on the one hand and our spirit guide on the other, these two entities become our very best friends, above and beyond our mates, our family members, our grandchildren, our children, our mothers and fathers. They become our two very best friends, and life changes dramatically when we draw them into the matrix of our embodied life self. So the guide is a very important, very high being among the higher organizing intelligences. You know, although we Americans, and I'm just thinking out loud here because I'm an American, although we Americans have a vested interest in the democratic ideal in which everyone is equal to everyone else, that's a very nice theory. Unfortunately, there is a hierarchy in the spiritual world, and we are low in the hierarchy because we're still ascending into it. But when you turn your attention towards the upper worlds, and we'll be doing that in the workshop to come, we discover that there is a spiritual hierarchy. I think of it as the higher organizing intelligences. And many people who teach shamanic workshops are either aware of them or not so much aware of them. You know, there's a difference, Stephen, between nature mysticism and deity mysticism. The shamanic tradition, the shamanic path, really begins with nature mysticism. When we turn our attention to the life force, to the powers of nature, to the spirit animals, the spirit helpers who are there to provide us with assistance in our path through life. But there comes the time when we begin to shift our awareness upwards towards deity mysticism. And the first and primary level of deity is our own God self, our own oversoul, our God self in becoming, because each one of us is a God in training when you understand who and what the oversoul really is. And then the second level of deity is our spirit guide, who is actually a God, who is actually a transpersonal being, who is in charge of and the teacher of our higher self. And this is quite an extraordinary experience, and we'll see if we can go there. I think we're going to do this in Module 7 when we talk about the new mysteries and nature and deity mysticism on January the 19th. This is something I'm looking forward to because it pulls us into a new level of connection with the other world, with the beings, the transpersonal forces that actually reside in this other world and which have a vested interest in being of service to us. This is a good thing, don't you think?
I think it's great. I love the precision of your understanding of how all these different levels relate to each other as well. And just for my own clarity, so when you use higher self and oversoul, are you using those fairly interchangeably, or they have distinct meanings?
They're interchangeable. Our higher self is our oversoul. I like the term oversoul. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson, the American poet and mystic, came up with this term, I think, in the 1840s. I've got a reference for it in my new book, The Reenchantment, which is just out. And, you know, I talk a lot about the oversoul and the spirit guide in that book. And I think I referenced the place where you can find this in Emerson's, the noble Emerson's writings. Mm-hmm. You know, as an academic, you know, I was a professor of anthropology for much of my life. And I used to teach a class called Magic, Witchcraft, and Religion, which haunts me today because all of my former students from this class are now my Facebook friends. I can't get rid of them. You know, they're still in connection with me. But, you know, I had a vested interest in providing references in this new book, The Reenchantment. And so people can find the reference there if they're so inclined.
Well, let's talk a little. So, what else do we need to be aware of when we're? So, there's the classic shamanic journeying techniques. You use a drum, and I know you're going to be doing a lot of that in your upcoming program on the shamanic path of reenchantment. And so, are there things that we need to be aware of in order to do it to effectively go beyond certain of the kind of lower world or more astral kind of qualities into this like higher dimension of the where you're talking about the upper world, the dreaming of the gods?
Well, you know, the fact is that we're in touch with these dream worlds all the time. There is no separation when we turn our attention in that direction. You know, my old friend, the Kohuna in Hawaii, about whom I read a book, by the way, the book was called The Bowl of Light, a catchy title in terms of what we just talked about. I called it The Bowl of Light, and it's about my conversations with this extraordinary man over the last 8 years of his life. You know, he used to observe with a lot of humor and a lot of laughter that the key is no doubt. And then he'd wait for a moment, like I'm waiting right now, and he'd say, if you doubt, you're out. And then he would blast into laughter. You know, the fact is that all of us can do that, and I very much suspect that we have a program on our inner hard drive. I'm talking about our DNA, the inner hard drive that programs our physical body into existence. And I suspect that there's a program on that inner hard drive, and when it's double-clicked by the right mouse, and the drum, the rattle, holotropic breath through, dancing, singing, exhaustion, physical exhaustion, these are all methods of double-clicking that program. When that program is double-clicked, it allows us to experience expanded states of awareness. And I think we're programmed to do that. That expanded state of awareness will bring us into connections with a mysterious and godlike mind. And I'm talking about our oversoul. I'm talking about our oversoul. And when this experience unfolds before us, life changes dramatically. It changes dramatically. And we realize that we're not alone. You know, this whole experience of alienation that so many people have in being isolated or being alienated or being alone. You know, why is it that at this time people are turning towards spirituality? They're reinvestigating why they've come into this world, what this is all about, where they fit into it. And in the process of going in that direction, many things open up for us. And that's what's happening in the workshops that I teach. And that's, I'm sure, what's happening in the workshops that you offer through the Shift Network. I mean, mm-hmm. You've got increasing numbers of people out there on the trail who are aware of the fact that there is something more, that there are other worlds which are possible for people like ourselves to experience directly, which is why the path of the shaman is known as the path of direct revelation. That was the subtitle of a book Sandra Ingerman and I co-authored together, Awakening to the Spirit World, The Shamanic Path of Direct Revelation. That's a really good book, by the way. I don't know if you've actually had a chance to read it, but, you know, it's done very, very well in terms of sales. And, you know, I wouldn't have thought that there were that many people in the United States who are interested in the shaman's path, but apparently there are.
There really are. We've discovered that at the Shift Network, too. It's a lot of times our shamanic programs are some of the largest ones we have, so we feel very blessed by that. And I think part of it is it's the shamanic path is it's reclaiming essential knowings that we've forgotten in different ways, and that balance many of the other wisdom traditions we've inherited. So it kind of creates, it's like a missing ingredient that a lot of us didn't get. And so there's a deep hunger to have that nutrient that fills out our spiritual life and reanimates nature, reconnects us with some of these other realms, journey work. So I really feel like it's a very complementary path. It doesn't require us to adopt a different belief system or subscribe to a different church or religion. It's really about complementary skill set. So I think this is a good moment to talk more directly with folks about your upcoming program. I know you've referenced several modules, and we're very excited that you're teaching this. It's really evident in just the time we've already had together, like how much you know from your 30 years of study and melding that with the anthropological and scientific understandings you have as well. So the program that Hank is going to be offering, it's a 7-week program. There's a little bit of a break over the Christmas New Year's, but runs from December 1st through end of January. It's called The Shamanic Path of Reenchantment, Traditional Practices and New Portals to Wisdom, Healing, and Joy. So you can find it at shamanicpathcourse.com. Again, that's shamanicpathcourse.com. And it's called The Shamanic Path of Reenchantment. So what we've invited Hank to do here is to distill some of his most important teachings and practices in a program that really delivers on an experiential journey through this material. So you're getting the core teachings, some of the unique lineages that he's drawing upon that a lot of more traditional shamanic teachings aren't drawing necessarily from the Hawaiian tradition. And so there's a richness that comes in from having access to multiple lineages. So it's really for people who are on a path of transformation and growth. It's not just for kind of an academic understanding. We want people who are really committed to grow and to do the work and create a strong ritual field together. We've been very blessed in other programs at SHIFT, such as with Sandra Ingerman and Oscar Maru Quesada, to experience what is possible when you blend people from around the world into a virtual ritual workshop and ongoing community. And it's quite magical what can happen. So it's going to be a 7-week program, and Hank, maybe if you can, you've already referenced some of the modules, but give us a sense of the arc of the journey that you're going to take people on and what they can expect.
Well, you know, I'm going to begin with a module called The Reenchantment, A Shamanic Path to a Life of Wonder, which is the title of my book that is just being released. Because what happened to me when I was a kid was I was enchanted by nature. I grew up in New York City in an apartment, but my mother used to take me to Central Park, and I began to have these insights as a small child, looking at the trees, looking at the pigeons, looking at the squirrels, that they were beings, that they were alive like myself, but they were different. And then I had a mystical experience in the Central Park Zoo, which involved a leopard. And this is written in this book at the beginning. As I grew up, of course, the sense of mystery and magic was always there. But the magic withdrew, you know, as I approached puberty and fell in love with a female of the species sort of thing. But, you know, years later, when I was living in Africa in a safari tent, the sense of magic returned, and I began to have mystical experiences in the desert, and I suddenly understood why so many of the world's religions have begun in deserts in the Middle East. I was in Ethiopia, but I've written about this and how the reenchantment happened to me and how I encountered Sandra Ingerman more than 30 years ago, and how I had this mystical experience in response to the work that she did on my behalf in a workshop, and how it all took off from there. We're going to talk about the shaman as a medicine man or medicine woman, and the shaman's connection with the other worlds in module number 2. And one of the interesting things about this is that all shamans are medicine people, but in my experience, not all medicine people are shamans, and we're going to talk about what this means. In module number 3, we'll talk about the three souls around and within which we come into being in the world and the nature of the self that results. In module number 4, we're going to work with ancestral spirits. All right, this is an aspect of the shamanic tradition that Halemakua, the Hawaiian kahuna mystic, steered me back toward more than 20 years ago. This was a man who was in active connection with his ancestors, and all the time, he had a whole contingency of ancestors who followed him around, who were advising him on an ongoing basis. And when I turned my attention back towards my own ancestors, my life was incredibly enriched by these relationships. We're going to talk about spirit medicine as well. We're going to talk about the common causes of illness and the 4 levels of shamanic healing. It's very important to understand what the causes of illness are, because from the shamanic perspective, the primary problem is not the illness, it's the cause of the illness. And this is where shamans do their best job. And this is something that we, as non-tribal Western people, can become engaged in for our own self-healing, as well as for the healing of others. This leads us to a module, number 6, I believe, in which we're going to involve ourselves with ancestral lineage healing. It's known that as we pass across time and family lineages that sometimes distortions within those family lineages can manifest themselves in us, sometimes in a modified state. But, you know, this is an important thing because, for example, you can't imagine how many times I've heard women in my workshops say, you know, all the women in my mother's side of the family get breast cancer. Well, on the one hand, that's a very dangerous belief system, if it's a belief system. But in fact, there actually may be an energetic distortion which is passed across time within a family lineage. And those distortions can be fixed if you know how to do it. And so I want to provide our participantship with tools for their toolbox and how you actually resolve these distortions in family lineages coming across times. And this is important because everybody descended from an ancestor who had that distortion. Everyone gets the healing. And I've experienced this directly myself. And I'll provide that information to those signing up for our group. And then our final module for this time around is going to deal with the new mysteries that are coming into being in response to our need for them once again. These new mysteries are actually reflections of the ancient mystery schools that were destroyed during the classical period. But they're changing. You know, there's a modern upgrade which is taking place both in these new mysteries as well as in the shamanic tradition. And we're going to talk about nature mysticism and deity mysticism, which we've mentioned briefly today. This is going to provide us with a very nice complex of experiential knowledge, experiential in the sense that we're going to have experiential shamanic journeys in each module. I'll talk for maybe 45 minutes, and then we'll journey for maybe 15 minutes. And as I recall, Stephen, we're going to have breakout sessions for people to discover and discuss what they actually experience. And, you know, I'll chip in. I'll stay online and answer questions as I can. So this is a new experience. You know, for people, I've always been aware of the fact that there are people who will never be able to make it to one of my training workshops because of geographic distance or because of financial considerations. And so this is a new way to really connect with people and provide them with tools in their toolbox and give them a sense, a greater sense of who they are and what they're doing here and what this is all about. And this is a very good thing, Stephen. So, you know, so congratulations to you and the Shift Network for putting this together. This is wonderful.
Well, we're super excited. And for people who haven't experienced the power of a virtual program like this, especially doing it live, I mean, you do get the chance to interact with Hank directly and ask questions. You get the chance to interact directly with other participants. The Facebook forum often becomes very, very engaged, and people sharing their experiences and questions and explorations. We've had programs that even well over a year after the program are still very active Facebook groups. So it's it creates a very deep experiential container, and on a subtle level, by joining your intention together at a distance for this time and to undertake journeys together, it creates a field. Just like when you engage in a live workshop in person, you create a field of energy that supports the advancement of the entire group. So it's quite a compelling experience, and we've all the shamanic teachers we've had have always been blown away by how much you can do in this virtual context. So again, you can find all the details on this program at shamanicpathcourse.com. Again, shamanicpathcourse.com. So as you can tell, Hank is a sophisticated teacher, but he's also accessible. So you don't have to have a deep background in shamanism to do this program. It's really accessible to people getting going, and it will be very rewarding for those who've been around for, you know, decades on the path. So as Hank mentioned, it starts on December 1st. It's going to run on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And it's worth mentioning we have a few other extra bonuses that really enrich and deepen the program. You can see them on the page there at shamanicpathcourse.com. One are two teachings from Hank's online program, which is called the Spirit Walker program. First is Shamanic Journey Methods, an audio teaching from Hank, and another audio teachings on shamanic healing. So that's often one of the things people are most interested
by in shamanism is to have the specific applications to healing our body, tracing back the source of disease or issues, as Hank was talking about. So that's so you have both of those teachings from his other online work that he's done. And you also have audio recordings from called the Percussion Tracks for Shamanic Journey. This is all from the Spirit Walker program as well. It's really an important adjunct so that you can do the deep shamanic journey work that in between sessions it really adds so much of the power. This is also a bonus here from the Shamanism Global Summit. This is a special bonus when you register by tonight at midnight Pacific time. And we like to do this as a way to really give you an extra incentive to go to the page today at shamanicpathcourse.com. And tune in, and if you need to do some introspection, if it's the right timing for you, if you get a yes, then you've got the extra incentive to go for it today. So this is a dialogue between Hank and his beloved partner in life and wife, is Jill Kuykendall, I guess you pronounce her name, and it's hosted by Michael Stone. It's from our Shamanism Global Summit. It's called The Spiritual Foundation for the New Cultural Mythos. You want to share anything about that special bonus when they sign up today, Hank?
Well, you know, it sounds like you've really got this covered. I'm really impressed. I'd like to get all those bonuses.
That's a great bonus when you sign up today. So you get all of the bonuses. You get the full 7 weeks, live interactive time, the community, and we keep it super accessible. So you can just invest 3 payments of $109, or you save about 10% when you pay in full for just $297. So it really makes this accessible at a distance. You don't have to have the plane flight and the travel and all the accommodations. You can get a lot of the deep wisdom and the shamanic journey work when you participate in this virtual way. So it's a great way to really go deep with Hank's teachings. And as I mentioned before, one thing that is unique is he's drawing from some lineages, some Hawaiian and Polynesian practices that you aren't getting elsewhere from a lot of other shamanic teachers. So I think there was a reason why the Hawaiian kahuna chose Hank to teach and convey some of these ancient teachings from the kahuna tradition as well. So that's the summary. I'll mention you also get recordings of every class session and PDF transcripts, word for word. So that's really valuable so you can go back and reconnect with the learning later, and really add this to your transformational library for years to come. So again, it starts December 1st, Thursday's 5 p.m. Pacific time. You get all the details at shamanicpathcourse.com. So Hank, what a beautiful set of teachings today. I really love the way you've threaded together many realms of understanding for us. So anything last that's on your heart that you want to speak to people who are considering joining you for the journey?
Well, you know, this is a wonderful thing. What you've created is really a wonderful thing to reach large numbers of people out there on the trail. And, you know, the amazing thing is that once we step onto the mystic road, there's no getting off. You know, we're on it for the rest of our lives and probably for the rest of our future lives as well. And, you know, we could do a lot worse than to become medicine people in our elderhood or as we mature in the world. You know, I had a young woman in my most recent workshop who was only 19 years old. Stephen, can you imagine how different your life would have been if you knew about this stuff when you were 19 years old? I mean, there's a change that's happening in the world, and I find this deeply reassuring. This is really where I find hope for the future. You know, we've got plenty of therapists and lawyers and politicians and doctors and so forth and so on. We need more medicine people in our society because I think they're the people who are going to take the dream and turn this whole thing around. And this is not a small thing. Don't you agree?
I agree. It's time for the medicine people to help us heal and help us find our higher wisdom and move forward in a good way on this planet. So thank you for helping to activate and train more medicine people.
Okay, Stephen, we're in this together.
All right, wonderful. Well, everyone, thank you for joining us. Really an honor and blessing to be partnered with you in the larger work of shifting our world. And if you feel the call to go deeper on the shamanic path of re-enchantment, you are warmly welcomed, and I think you'll really find that Hank is a delightful teacher and guide for you. So it's at shamanicpathcourse.com, and remember that you get the bonus with
Hank and his beloved Jill, who he assures us is the real shaman in the family, which is a great dialogue on the spiritual foundation for the new cultural mythos. So you are in for a treat at shamanicpathcourse.com. Well, thank you all, and thank you, Hank. It's been a beautiful hour together. Onwards into the next phase.
Okay, aloha, Stephen. Best to you.
Aloha.